three Kennedys. Surely not.
The old man lay a few feet from the giant wormhole, gathering his thoughts and regaining what breath he could. Dean was on his haunches, breathing heavily, while Jack still lay face down, frozen in attention to the rumbling, which grew louder by the second. The others were also transfixed as they listened.
What is that?
Muty worm. We disturbed Burrow, made fear danger.
So it's coming to investigate? Why didn't the stoop fucker just run away, like any other intelligent, dumb creature would?
Disregarding the inherent contradiction, I would say that was a pointless question. Better just to get the hell away from here ourselves.
Doc's right. That thing's gonna make a bigger hole when it comes out than when it went in. And it has all that disturbed cast to push out of the way.
Great. A worm shit shower.
Shut up and run!
They were all on their feet now and running toward their original path, bringing them back on course for Charity and away from the giant cast.
How do we know that this isn't where the worm is going to surface and we're running right into it?
Because they're more...
Fuck!
The worm exploded to the surface, throwing dry desert earth into the air and showering them with dust and hard-packed earth. They all hit the ground. Damper soil soon rained down, the cast from the tunnel.
Hot pipe, watch out!
Dean writhed around, trying to avoid the raining soil. A large clump of damp soil hit the ground where Dean had lain but a moment before, leaving an impact crater where his head would have been. The others were trying to judge where the larger clumps would fall as they wriggled around on the ground. There was no time to get up and run. By the time the dirt rain had finally ceased, the disturbed, muty worm had come straight up from the hole and was now towering above, perpendicular to the sand and awesome in length. At a glance, Dean judged it to be about 50 feet long, with tail end disappearing into the hole. It undulated in a rippling motion, the manner in which it was able to keep its segmented body upright. The front segment moved around as if trying to detect the wreck party. Its mouth howled open, the strange rows of fleshy teeth dripping ooze.
Oh, fuck!
Doc snapped out of his stupor, and with remarkable swiftness, reached across to Mick, who was carrying a supply bag, and took it from him.
Hey!
Mick was in charge of carrying spare ammo, grens, and Plasex. Doc picked out a gren. He also took a lump of Plasex and hastily wrapped it around the gren. Scrambling to his feet, Tanner launched himself toward the monster Muty. Somehow, the creature detected Doc's presence, its head tilted, its monstrous teeth working like a steam shovel.
Get thee hence!
Doc pulled the pin, drew back his arm, and threw the explosive toward the open mouth. The head section lifted slightly as it detected the motion of the gren, moving with the arc of the small object, and the mouth welcomed it in.
Duck and cover!
Everyone threw themselves onto the desert floor and covered their heads. 1 second, the worm seemed to be rearing up in all its awesome glory, and the next, it had simply vaporized. A rain of white, luminous flesh and mucus splashed all around them. It was over as quickly as it had begun, the last echoes of the explosion dying away on the night air, the last far-flung particles of worm flesh falling to earth. Lonnie raised his head.
Ugh, shit. That I could easily have done without, my friends.
Yeah.
Ugh.
How far from Ville? Any chance here, Dad?
It's an empty old space between here and there, but I reckon it won't reach that far. Even if it does, you get trading parties traveling across this desert. They might expect a wag in a few hours, but that's it.
Good. Should move on some. Dan said camp. Too cold to travel now.
A half hour's walk should get us well out of range of that fucking hole, just in case there are any other of those muty bastards ready to poke their ugly heads out. Let's move out!
The party reassembled, checked that they had everything they needed, and nothing was left behind in the confusion. Doc handing the ammo bag back to Mick, and they began to march back onto their prescribed route to Charity. A few miles passed before they felt safe enough to pitch camp in the partial shelter of a dried scrub oasis. Jack set a fire for warmth, and they erected their tents, Lonnie allotting a watch rota. Now calm after their recent encounter, they settled down to rest until morning, hoping that the remainder of the journey would be quick and incident-free.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.
200 years after the nukes have rained upon the Earth, the inhabitants of a self-inflicted hell discover there might be more to Skydark than just disagreements between countries. Outlanders, only from Cutting Audio. www.cuttingaudio.com